Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour time that we have set aside for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege that God has allowed us to come together to fellowship one with another, the body of Christ, partakers in the household of faith. God has given us this opportunity, and I thank him for allowing me to be able to go before the people. And I thank God for each and every one of you that take time from your schedule to meet on Wednesday night as we explore the word of God together. It is all by God's grace. You have to realize that this is orchestrated by God. And we are just showing up week after week after week. And God honors that. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for Bible study. There's so many things that's been happening around us in the world today. It's hard to even fathom everything that's happening. And the thing about it, there's nothing that we can do. We in and of ourselves don't have power to change this or that. We have to live within the system of everything that's given to us. We could see injustice straight in the face, and it just seemed to just go on and on and on. The pandemic appears that it'll always be with us. Wars and rumors of wars is stirring up on every side. God is in control. We have to believe that. We have to hold on to that. It's never what comes our way. It's who we go through it with. And his name is Jesus. God has a way to make everything all right. But you got to trust him. And you got to let him have his way, because it's his will, not your will. And his will be done with your cooperation or not. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the title of our lesson is, I'm just coming tonight with a reminder. Everything that I will do in the Bible study tonight is a reminder of the truth. You know, we know so much about God, and we go on with our daily lives and our responsibilities, and sometimes we forget the total essence of God, his purpose and design for our lives. So sometimes it's good to do a reminder. And I look at this lesson tonight as a reminder to remind us what God has done, is doing, and promised to do. So the title, I want to just start with reminding us that we did not go looking for God. God came looking for us. That in itself is enough to shout about. Hallelujah, y'all. That God loves us so much, he came and got us, gave us an invitation, and keep on loving on us. What a mighty God we serve. At this time, I'm going to play a song, and when the song is finished, we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace and prayer. Our sister Pam, our prayer warrior, will lead us into prayer, and then we'll go into the lesson. I pray you have your Bibles. I pray you had enough time to read the whole chapter. But we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to play the song right now, and it's a song by Daryl Coley. And Daryl Coley lets us know in this song that Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I like how the young people be doing.
Hallelujah. That song is Jesus Saved from the utmost, from the uttermost. No matter how long or how far you think you're gone, Jesus saves. And we have to remember that. Our prayer warrior has already pressed the one button on her phone, and I'm going to open the mic for those that are new to the program. When the program is over and it's an invitation for comments is given out, if you would like to say something, you just press the one button on your phone, and it will prompt me in the studio, and I'll open your mic, and you could speak. And for those that are listening on the internet, you might be in the live show on the internet. If there's ever the opportunity that you would like to say something in a live, within a live show, you just have to call the number that's posted on that log. It's 347-945-7659. 347-945-7659. When you call that number, it would bring you into the studio, and you could press the one button, and I can open your mic. Everyone is invited to speak and ask or just say hello, because this is our Bible study. We come together every Wednesday night. It's good sometimes just to let somebody hear your voice, because we can't see your faces. Tell us a name. And if anyone have any prayer requests, you could say it at this time so that the prayer warrior could put your name on the list. And when she call out the names. And all of us have a responsibility to pray for those who ask for prayer on this line. We one body, y'all. So if anyone have a prayer request, you could press the one button on your phone, and when the prayer warrior come on, she'll add your name to the list. Anyone. Praise God. Sister Pam, I've opened your mic. And you could come to us any way that God leads you.
Good night, everybody. Giving you thanks, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you for affording us the opportunity to come together on this Wednesday night to worship and prayer. Thanking you, O Lord, for our Bible study. Thanking you for all those that are on the line listening tonight, the telephones and the internet. Thank you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Continue to use her, O God, in a mighty way. Continue to crown her head with the wisdom and the knowledge that comes from you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift and reward of salvation and for giving us something to sing about. Thank you, Lord, for loving us no matter what our circumstances may be. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your enduring faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your unfolding grace and your steadfast mercy. Thanking you, Lord, for our trials and our tribulations that comes that makes us stronger. Father God, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus the Christ, and it's all in his name. And I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. And even though Sister Pam, thank you, has taken a responsibility as the prayer warrior and a benediction reader at the end. If anyone would like to pray, you could press
Amen.
Your one button on the phone, and you can lift up your prayers as well. There's never too much prayer. So if anyone else would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Thank you, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
God always gives us an opportunity to exercise our gifts. Well, it's time to go into the lesson. The prayers has been prayed. The song has been sung. And now we're going to expound on the word of God together. Again, because other callers have come on the line, the title of our lesson is, We Didn't Go Looking for God. God came looking for us. We're in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Always I do a little intro or a little background. So I want to say tonight, because I started off tonight and some of you wasn't on at that time, that I'm doing reminders of, as the record said, how Jesus saved. You know, we get so deep and so religious and we get so many precepts and we get so much revelation and we get so much to sometimes we forget the basics. So I guess in a sense I'm calling this a little basic study. I started off with the title, We Didn't Go Looking for God, God Came Looking for Us. That's the fundamental truth. So I want you to know that God cannot love us no more than he loves us now. Some people walk around feeling, well, we all feel unworthy. And I think that's a natural feeling that we have because we could never be so worthy. We don't have, we couldn't achieve righteousness by ourselves. The righteousness that we dwell in is what God has extended to us once we accepted his son. So we know we're not worthy of all that God is doing for us, but some people beat up on themselves. I need to read more. I should pray more. I should give more. I should do more. And all of that, you know, is things that God asks us to do. But even feeling that way, you got to understand the love of God for you. And that's why I say God can't love us no more than he loves us right now. And I'm talking about whatever state you're in. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and God gave you the gift of salvation, you are saved. And the things that may be causing you to beat up on yourself that you should do, that you think you're not doing, that won't make you be more saved. And you don't do those things to get saved. But because Jesus died for us and paid the price, we should want to please him with our service. You know, many times people ask the question, why does God love us? You know, this is a sharp question, and it's among the most profound questions ever asked. And even though it's asked over and over and over, no human would ever be able to answer it sufficiently. God is so much, so big, so much that we can't even comprehend him. He said, our thoughts is as far as the dew on the ground is from heaven. But he gives us revelation day by day. He allows his spirit to speak to us along the way. But we haven't learned to rest. You see, one thing is certain. God does not love us because we're lovable, obedient, forgiving, kind, or because we deserve his love. If anything, the opposite is true. We are so hard on ourselves and can never enter into total rest. You know, God was big on rest. He created in 6 days and rest on the seventh. You think God needed rest? No, he was trying to be an example to show you. All that God is doing the work. He wants you to rest in what he's doing. Because we really don't understand the love, the total love of God for us. You see, God loves you when you study more, or if you study less. See, studying and learning is for you. Many people a read, a verse in a Bible or a chapter in a Bible and feel so good about themselves that they pleased God or that they did God a favor. God instructed 40 men from all walks of life to pen the Holy Bible. God knows what's in the Bible. God inspired the Bible. God gave us the Bible to be our moral compass for our daily living, to help us along the way in this evil and dark, perverted world that he knew we would have to live in. It's all for you. The more you know, the more you grow, the more you show. You see, even though God is love, he also gives judgment. He often issue out his wrath. Yes, he do get angered, and he's a jealous God. At times, he'll exhibit his fury, and yet with all of that, he does it all in love. Hallelujah, y'all. Remember the children of Israel, God loves you when you are obedient or disobedient. Let me tell you one thing you got to realize. If your salvation is secured, and yet we all fall short, slip up, backslide, slip and fall, God has consequences in place to take care of the disobedience and the sins that you may do. See, God has the consequences in place to take care of that. And it's going to all happen on this side because none of that sin and disobedience is going to follow you into eternal life. And those consequences that was done in the flesh, the consequences are paid with the flesh. And it's going to happen here on earth. Many times people say, you giving a teaching that is just too easy, that God saves us and loves us in spite of and not because of. And God forgives all of our sins as if it's a license to just sin and do what you want. God forbid. But the consequences is already there for your actions, y'all. So your sins will be taken care of with the consequences because all sins have consequences attached to them. God also told us in Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Your salvation is secure, sisters and brothers. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and Jesus died for you. That should be enough to give you rest and peace in your journey, in your walk, in your kingdom building. God loves us because he is our Father, and we are his children. We have to remember that. I'm going in the scripture at this time. And I'm going to start with the fourth verse. It said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. See, we have to remember that. The thing that I love the most about these scriptures here that was just read, he say, even when we were dead in sins, Jesus quickened us. Hallelujah. And allowed us to have grace to be saved. That's how I picked the title. This proved we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And he found us while we were wilding in our sin and gave an invitation to accept his son and receive eternal life. You see, these verses focus on God, his mercy and grace, and making provisions for man's salvation in Christ. When we see the word, but God, that bold verse starts with, but God. This is a beacon of light and hope in any area of despair. No matter what man or Satan has to say, we can always say, but God, and believe the report of the Lord while holding on to the confession of our faith and a guarantee to make it, that you'll make it through. You know, I could just imagine the faithful people of God sometime in their lives could only say, but God. When you're back against the wall, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know which way to go, no way to turn. And you could stand tall and say, but God. So I looked at Moses, hallelujah, and when they was at the Red Sea, and there was nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, and the enemy was approaching, and all of the people were complaining. Imagine that. Moses said, but God. That this was might have one of his but God moments. And God delivered them. Y'all know the story. If I look at Daniel as he stepped in the lion den, I could believe he thought, but God walked in, entered into rest, laid down with the lions until morning. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king told him, y'all don't want to take this chance. Just bow down to me, and I'll forget all of this. He said, the king told him, how do you know that your God is going to come through? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told him, we don't know if he would, but one thing we know that he could. And they stepped in the burning fires with a but God. Hallelujah, y'all. You know, Joseph, after being sold into slavery by his brothers, and we know how the story goes, and in the end, he was able to save his family and the nation because he was the only one that had food in the famine. And when he met his brothers, they didn't recognize who he was. And he finally told them, and they was frightened because they know what they had done to him. They know how they hated him and how much jealousy and hatred that they had towards him. But Joseph stood tall and said, but God. He said he turned it around for our good. I'm sure all of us have many but God experiences in our lives, and God has many more in store for you. But you got to trust him and watch the hand of God operate in your life, working all things out for your good. You see, the word of God lets us know that your tomorrow will be greater than your today, your future much greater than your past, and this year will be much greater than last year. And always remember Job and trust God. And Job said as he was going through, y'all know what happened. Job lost everything, his children, everything he owned. Then he became sick, but it wasn't unto death. And Job said, your ladders will be much greater than your former days. Glory, hallelujah, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the condition of man in sin is not hopeless and terminal, because God, who loves us, has come to rescue us through his provisions of mercy, which is God holding back the punishment we do deserve. And he's given us grace, which gives us all things we don't deserve. If God is full of grace and we are saved by grace, we know we don't deserve anything that God is doing. And that's how we could give him glory and honor and praise, because of the kind of God he is, because of the love that he has for us. Hallelujah, y'all. We don't deserve it. And then the messing up we do, the punishment we do deserve, and we would have to really go back to Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, and sin brought death in the world, so we was all destined to die. We was dead men walking, and we was going to die, but God arranged through his son, death, burial, and resurrection, that the punishment that we deserve of death, God is holding it back. Because if you accept Christ, you're gonna live forever. You see, we were dead in sin, because 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And Jesus, the second Adam, y'all may not know, well, Jesus is really the last Adam. That's why they call Adam in the garden the first Adam, and Jesus the second Adam. Jesus is the eternal Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. See, Adam, the first Adam, was made a living soul, and Jesus was made a quickening spirit. What God has done for us by grace, even while we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. That's why I could say we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. We must remember that grace is all of God's riches at Christ's expense. If we look at the verses 7 through 9, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the excellent treasures of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Look what he's saying. In all of the ages to come, talking about today, right now, and tomorrow if he allows you. Hallelujah, y'all. In all of the ages to come, he might show an excellent riches of his grace. God want to shower us with his grace. God don't want it to be so complicated in our lives, tossed and driven everywhere, different teachers and preachers giving us stuff that is like placed on our back. And then, you know, many times people are struggling with it because they don't quite understand it, and they don't really have all of the information to realize the love of God. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. This one is so important. Verse 9, he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you really understand why God is always saying it's him providing, it's him doing the work, it's him that saved, it's him that picked you up when you fall, it's him that loved you enough, it's him that allowed his only begotten son to die on the cross for whosoever believed would have eternal life, it's him. God does all that and so much more. Who woke you up this morning? God. Who started you on your way? God. Put food on your table? God. And you might say, no, because I have a job. But if God don't give you breath and health, you can't go to the job. So again, it's God. God does all of this and everything that he's doing for us so that no man can boast. You know, we have some people in the world that think they have arrived spiritually, that they way up on the totem pole and they looking down on others. But God has no respect for person. So remember that. God loves you just like he loved them, and he don't love them no more than he loved you. Come on now, y'all. God is no respect of person, and there's no room in our relationship with God that any man can boast. So you, when you see somebody, oh, I did this and I did that and I did this and I gave this. You already know they messed up when they said I. If you ever say I too many times about anything, check yourself. I. You see, these verses focus on the purpose of salvation, which we obtain through Christ, not anything of ourselves. So don't ever get it twisted. Nothing of ourselves. You wasn't smart enough. You didn't have enough money. Your education couldn't get it. You didn't read the Bible. You know, you read the Bible three times back to back. Good. So you're going to have a lot of information and hopefully a lot of power within you when adversities come your way. It's for you. Some people try to make you feel like they got it and you don't have it. Everybody don't grow at the same time, number one. And number two, everything is not for everybody, even within the things of God. Number three, so we have to let everybody run their race. Let them work out their soul salvation because that's just the way God planned it. Glory, hallelujah. Altogether, these verses, they spell out the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This scripture is letting us know that the best is yet to come. Because 1 Corinthians 2:9 said, but it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God said that, y'all. You can't even imagine all that God got for you. Just imagine where you at now and multiply that or triple it because you understand God. And God is showering you with his blessing. He said, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room to receive it. See, that's the stuff God said. And God said that you could believe it. You got to trust him. Bring it everything to God and leave it there and keep it moving. Now, while you're keeping it moving, you have to continue to do the things of God that you know to do. And if you learn along the way to do more, then you do more. But you got to bring it to God and leave it, keep it moving, and keep doing the things that God has asked us to do. You see, we all should wake up each morning with a spirit of expectancy. We should be confident that God is willing and able to accomplish the work which he has begun in each of us. We became Christians through God's unmerited grace, not as a result of any efforts, ability, intellect, or acts of service on our part. Don't ever get it twisted. Don't ever get it twisted. I come to tell you tonight that it's a God thing, not a man thing. Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. God gave the grace. How could any man boast? You see, God designed it that way, so no one could get the big head concerning their salvation. Anytime you talk about your salvation, you should say, but God. When you speak about your blessings, but God. You have to know where your strength comes from. You have to know who's blessing you. God can't love you any more than he loves you right now, my sisters and brothers. I don't care what state you're in. The scripture, when we started, say, while we were yet in our sins, we was quickened by the Spirit of Christ. if God loved you enough while you were sinning to allow his son to die for you so you could have eternal life, how much, well, I don't see how much more he could love you because he loved us that much. But you got to realize if he loved you like that while you were wilding in your sin, that's a great love. And he's full of love. God is the essence of love. God is total love. So when God deals with us, it's just pure love. Pure love. No animosity, no get back, no I'm sick of you. Pure love. He loves us in spite of and not because of. And if we look at the last verse, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, God came looking for us, gave us an invitation, a free gift of salvation if we accept, believe, and confess on his son that he is the Savior. And you realize that you need a Savior, and God took you in. Now, before the foundation of the world, God created all of us uniquely. So I'm going to keep going, and we're going to see what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God had before ordained that we'll walk in it. This is talking about God. Before the foundation of the world, y'all know that God had an intended purpose for all us in mind before we were born. You know, that's where Jeremiah 29 and 11, God said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. And then not only that, when we was in our mother's womb, visit Psalms 139, he said he took his hand and came in and formed our innermost parts in our mother's womb. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. God is a God of purpose. God had a purpose for each and every one of our lives, just like he had a purpose for the birds and the bees, the flowers and the trees and the fish in the ocean. So God created us as a workman. So all of us have work to do. And this part I want you to really get, that the work that God has for you is not the work he had for someone else. God is a God of variety. And you see, we live in this earth, on this earth, but we're not in this earth. God has established a moral rim, the kingdom of God, for all the believers to be in it. And God, if he have a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, God wanted to operate correctly. So everybody that became a body of, that entered to the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, we are in the kingdom, the spiritual realm, and God got work for us to do here to keep the kingdom operating well. But you see, the Bible, God knows this too, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Can you just imagine for a second if all the Christians around the world would come together, would do for one another, would encourage one another? Many people are often hurt. They call it church hurt and hurt from sisters and brothers of Christ. But that's not the way God planned it. But he created us as workmen. That lets us know we have work to do. And don't get it twisted. You're not working to get saved. You're working because you're saved and you're grateful. You're grateful to the one that gave the gift. You see, we must focus our eyes on what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and promised to do, and take our eyes off ourselves We only a vessel made of clay, fallible, weak, and easily broken. And it's never about the vessel. Don't get the big head. The vessel. It's not about the vessel, but it's the treasure inside of the vessel. Philippians 2 and 13 lets us know, because it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasures. See, to will, that means give you the desire to want to do it. God is, we can't even do it without God giving us the desire to want to do what's right. And when he gives us the desire, and I like to call them opportunities, you know, we answer the call sometime and maybe sometime we don't. I mean, you have to answer for yourself. But he said he gave us the will to, which is the desire to want to do what is right. And then he gave us to do. That means he's given us the provisions to accomplish it. I can't, you can't lose with nothing like that. And nothing right what he said was about you. It's about what he did, is doing for us. That's why we live in a, I like to call it a dispensation of time of no excuses. We're not going to ever be able to say, God, why you didn't. God has done everything necessary for us, y'all, to live a righteous life. He didn't leave no wheels unturned. You see, we are his masterpiece, a unique one-of-a-kind work of art. We were all a part of his master plan before the foundation of the world, as I spoke of earlier. We often say what God has for you is for you. People speak that boldly. Yeah, what God got for me is for me. Yes, that is true. And they know that. And they like to send that. And they like to rely on that. But I come to tell you tonight, what God has for you to do is for you to do as well. He created you to do certain works. Now, he didn't give me the same works he gave you. So don't ever get it twisted by somebody who's doing much. You know, even with giving, giving is a gift. God has expounded a gift of giving on some people's lives, and they give. And you give. Maybe not as much as they give or how they give, because they are who they are and you are who you are. Some people, God allow them to be missionaries and they have to go in them foreign countries. He ain't sent all of us there, but that's the work he gave them. So what I'm getting at, whatever work God has for you to do is for you. And he's not asking everybody to do the same thing. So find your work. God knew everybody wasn't at the same level, even the same level of intelligence. He knew everybody wasn't going to have the same money. He knew, you know, everybody would not just be equal all the time, because the world doesn't allow that. So God in his choosing, he knew what he gave you to do, that you can do it. God never gave us something to do that he know he hasn't equipped us to do it. So it's no excuse, y'all. Hallelujah. You see, we have been living morally recreated in Christ for good works. Since the Christians have been given spiritual life for the purpose of doing good works, there could be no good works by him before your conversion that would merit you salvation. You could never get it on your own. You never could. No one can. We are not working to be saved. So please understand that tonight, y'all. just because you have obtained grace. Don't let it cause you to try to take advantage of that because you're saved. You'll be taking advantage of God's love. You'll be taking advantage of God's suffering on the cross. Why would you continue to do the things that you used to do before you were saved just because you have grace? Those things that you were ashamed of. Y'all know our past that makes us ashamed. Why would we want to live in that after our old life once we enter into a new life with Christ? Those things that we were ashamed of that we did before. And as I close tonight, we should all do good work, for it is the duty of man. And the scripture says it's only our reasonable service unto God. I come to tell you tonight, good works follows. It never preceded salvation. And that's the lesson for tonight. Glory, hallelujah. And if anyone would like to make a comment, I have a statement that they would like to say, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Thank God for the word on tonight, my sisters and brothers. But God wants us to learn to rest. And sometimes it may be just prioritizing our lives a little differently. We have to see the things that making us overwhelmed in life, because life is going to deal you so many things anyway. And then we have to see what part we play in it so that we can rest, because God ordained it that we could rest. God made 24 hours in a day. God knew that many of us would have families. He knew we would have jobs. He knew we would have, you know, different ambitions and businesses and whatever. God gave 24 hours. He put enough time in that for you, enough time for you with your family, and enough time for him. And from what I know about God, if God would have thought 24 hours wasn't enough time in a day, he would have made a day 36 hours. And that's it for tonight. Caller, your number is 504-615-19. Your mic is open.
Hey, Sister Diane. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm good. Thank you. I was listening to your message, and I think I like the points you brought out, but I think that we have to approach this from a relationship perspective. It's more about relationship than work. Because, you know, your relationship will produce your work. The one thing that I like that you said about when you talked about grace is unmerited favor. So you can't compartmentalize people when it comes to grace, because it says grace is something that you didn't deserve, but that was given to you. So if it was given to you, it was given to the next one, and the next one is what you do with what you have, and that's why relationships become important, because one have to learn who they're not before they can learn who they are. And, Jesus himself says, when he asked him, for what of my works do you wish to stone me for? And they say, for making yourself equal to God. He says, and it's written in your law that you are God's. So, you know, when we say God, we look at it as being unattainable, which the Bible tells us, be ye perfect as God is perfect, be ye righteous as God is righteous, and we're the salt of the light of the world and all that stuff. So I think that comes with relationship, and then that relationship, as, you know, Peter was saying, you show me your faith, I'm going to show you my faith, but my works are saying that I've worked with dead. So once you develop and create that relationship, then, you know, you'll be walking and operating in the power that has been granted to you in the grace. And I think too many times we are taught that we can't meet the mark, but if I got grace, I have the mark. You know, if God gave me grace and I can't do nothing to deserve it, but it was a gift given to me, then once I begin to comprehend and understand what that grace is and what relationship that grace forged between me and God, then I start operating in the level of godliness, being God in a small g, not the large g, and that will prompt me to do righteous things. That prompt me to love my neighbor as myself. That prompt me to, you know, to seek holiness and righteousness. Well, not to seek holiness, right? Because that comes through the grace. But to go out, as Jesus says, Jesus didn't tell us to go out and tell people they were sinners. He said, go out and spread the good news. What's the good news? That you've been reconnected back to God. How? Through grace. And so once we properly comprehend what grace is and what grace have afforded us, and when we start walking in that, then the works that you talking about, what was talking about, my sister, if they won't, it's not hard, it's not complicated. And you talked about knowing your purpose and all that. It's very important that one know their purpose, because even on this line, and I'm going to stop here, my sister, let me say this right quick. On this line, I like what you said about we're not to compete with each other, we're to complement each other. So it would behoove us to become the best us that God created us to be. And if I bring my best, you bring your best, and all the brothers and sisters on here bring their best, then we operating in perfection in God. And if we're operating in perfection in God, then no weapon formed. That's when no weapon formed can prosper. But that's when, you know, where two or three come together, touch and agree that God is in the midst. Why? Because we agree not that your hair's right or my eyes is bad or none of that, but we agreeing that God is almighty. And in that agreement, there's no stopping us, you know. I just wanted to share that, my feelings on what was said and my comprehension of the scripture that you taught on tonight. And to once again thank you for your dedication and your hard work. But I think your dedication bring on the work, so it makes it not hard, because you working and operating in your godly potential. God bless you, my sister, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
And I just want to say thank you so much, my brother. And you see, like I say all the time, from the first day 10 years ago that I got this program, this is our Bible study. And Bible study is to study the Bible, make comments, maybe sometimes disagree. But, you know, and that's why every time I open it up and I want to hear what you guys have to say. And what you say is so appropriate, and it's profound in its own right, that if you don't have a relationship, then you won't be able to do the works, because you wouldn't look at God. Well, you know, you just wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you for bringing that point in, and thank you that we could add that to what we expound on tonight. about building a right relationship with God and then stepping out to do what God has given us to do. It all goes in together. And I thank you for them comments, my brother.
Peace and blessings, sister.
I just love when someone pressed the one button and we talk, because sometimes what a person say may help someone on the line to get it better than I said it. God uses everybody, or he wants to use everybody. And it's all of us. We one body. God gave us this opportunity to express and expound on the word of God and learn and grow together. We want to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hopefully together. Every Wednesday we come in to do it. Let us do it together. And I thank you again, brother, for your comments. On last week, they had someone on the line, and they said they wanted to say something, but it was their, I don't know if it was their first time, but they said they didn't know what to do. So, Mr. Terry, I know you're on the line because I could see your number. I just now open up your mic, and if you would like to say anything, you can, and you don't have to. I'm not pushing you, but I remember what you told me about
yeah.
that, so that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah, Minister Diane, can you hear me?
All of us can hear you.
Okay. Good night, everyone. Minister Diane, I like how you put working because the because we are saved. While I was living in my sins and knew better, but I wanted the things of my flesh. I thank God that he didn't need me to myself. He had mercy and gave me grace to go through some things. Not only did I go through, he spared my life. Now I give him all the praise, honor, and glory to God. I give all the praise, honor, and glory to God. I strive to keep his commandments, to love and be faithful to the things of God. There was a time that I thought your good works was the thing that was going to get you saved. But I learned better. And, you know, we're not saved by our good works, but by God's grace we're saved. His grace and his mercy. And I just thank God for that tonight.
I thank God for you, Brother Terry. Thank you so much. And we're glad you're on the line, and we have heard your name, and we heard your voice. And was last week the first time you was on the line?
Yes.
And I just want to tell you that I'm so grateful and thankful that you was on the line last week, and you have come back again. And I want you to know you're welcome. We don't have any big eyes and no little U's, and everybody can express what they believe. They could ask questions, and they could even do corrections when it's necessary, because I wouldn't want anyone to go away with something that I say that's in error and someone have the answer and don't say it. So you're welcome, and you just have to press the one button on your phone. I open the mic and you could express. But we're so glad to have you with us on Wednesday night. And if it's God's will and your desire, come back again.
I will.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, if there's nothing else and no one have anything else to say, we could have our benediction. Again, I say thanks to each and every one of you. I thank God for each and every one of you, and we need to pray for each other, y'all. Pray for words of wisdom. We all are part of it. We come back Wednesday after Wednesday, something that God has given us, and let us treasure it. Let us treasure it. It's not about me. It's about us. We are one body. Amen. So, Sister Pam, your mic is open.
The benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. That's our lesson tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on next Wednesday. But until then, go in peace, go in love, build your relationship with God that will produce the work that God has asked us to do through the relationship. The work is accomplished. Everybody be blessed. Good night.
Good night.